thank God for everyone who are here. Let's go 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I am continuing the third part about the hidden wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. So we are still on the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, before the world. KJV says, before the world, unto our glory. And we looked at the meaning of the words, but the hidden wisdom has a lot of aspects, and we have already covered a lot in the previous sermon because we saw what is wisdom. Wisdom, the simple definition of wisdom is God's instruction to mankind, is the hidden wisdom. And I told you that instruction has to be unveiled, interpreted. So the interpretation of the instruction or the wisdom is the knowledge of God. And if someone has the knowledge of God, they will not perish. They cannot perish if the knowledge of God is with someone. That is what Hosea says. My people perish because of lack of knowledge, says the Lord. So if someone has the knowledge of God, that knowledge of God will come when you walk in the fear of the Lord. You will start to interpret the hidden wisdom of God. So we looked at those simple definitions. And remember last time what I told you? We went to Proverbs chapter number 9. Let's go there again because we are going to start from there. Proverbs chapter number 9. And we will read verse number 1. Wisdom, I told you what? Wisdom has a location. And what is the location of wisdom? The altar of God, the tabernacle of God. It is inside the presence, inside the tabernacle at the altar of God. The wisdom is found. That is Proverbs chapter number 9 talks about. So if you want something, you have to go to the location where it is there to get it. So you cannot have wisdom by playing guitar. You have to go to the location. You have to go to the altar. You have to go to the location of wisdom to get wisdom. Okay? And we saw the benefits of wisdom. So I'm not going into all those things. The benefits of wisdom is immense. And it's very high than any of the benefit that even the government jobs can offer you. Amen. You know, in India, when the child is born in a family, most of the family, from the time the child is born, the mother and father start to wish that the child gets a government job. The mother and father starts to dream, even as he grows up, we will put him in this school, we will put him there. And what you know what they do? Even as he is growing up, they purchase some insurance policies, some investment, so that when he is of age, they have money to give as a bribe to the government to put him in a government job. You know why in India that happens? That is how those who are living in India, they know what I'm talking about. So from before the baby is born, they want the baby to be in a government job, or sometimes they want the baby to be a doctor. You know, nowadays they don't want them to be engineers because engineers are landing up in call centers in India. So they don't want them to be engineers. They want them to be doctors. They want them to be in the government job. You know why? Because the benefits in the government job are very high. Very high benefits. You get a lot of benefits. So if you, as per them, if he or she gets a government job, all his life is settled. He can grow old and die peacefully. If there is a government job, it will take care of. That is what they think. But wisdom is far above than that of a government job in India. The benefits are immense. Okay? So I told you about the benefits last time. Now to get that wisdom, we got to, hallelujah, to get that wisdom, we got to look at the location where the wisdom is found. The location where the wisdom is found is in Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest place of the city. Underline highest place of the city. Underline that. Maybe today we will not unveil that, but we will unveil it on Sunday. But keep it, remember it. Okay? Meditate on it. She cries out from somewhere, and it is called the highest place of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in ear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." So these are the things in the house of wisdom. The elements or the furniture in the house of wisdom is seven pillars. Then there is meat that is slaughtered. There is wine. There is a table. These are the furniture. These are the things in the house of wisdom. And these are the things which are found in the tabernacle of God. Okay? The seven pillars show the seven lampstand, which look like pillars, which is found in the holy place. The table of the showbread and of the wine is found in the holy place. So if you want wisdom, and you need to go to that place where wisdom is located. And wisdom is located, is at the altar of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So the person who understands priesthood, the person who understands intercession and is building up the altar and staying at the altar, waiting in the secret place, actually, he is partaking of the ancient wisdom that was with the ancient, that is with the Ancient of Days. And this wisdom was even created before the devil existed. So such kind of immense wisdom, knowledge, a person is partaking who knows to live in the presence of God, who knows to wait at the altar. Something he is receiving, and what he is receiving is wisdom. Remember, I told you. I hope people remember it. Okay. I told you your journey with God is dependent on word encounters. On word encounters. Abraham, you know how he journeyed with God? There was a roadmap revelation. He had a roadmap he was journeying. And every roadmap where he stopped, you will see he built an altar. Why? Because he wanted to partake of the instruction of God. As soon as he got an instruction, he moved ahead. Again, he was clueless. He got an instruction, he moved ahead. Read about Abraham and you will see how many times God spoke to him. How many times God spoke to him? Okay, and gave him instruction. That is wisdom that you receive from the altar. Maybe you came out of your house. You went out of your house to become a sailor, a seafarer. Okay, that is what your desire is. But in order to fulfill the desire of God for you, the destiny that heaven, when you were born, heaven had a destiny. Heaven had a plan for you. In order to get in, tap into that secret of the written script that God has for you. Do you know God has a scroll for you in heaven? I don't have time to show you, but God has a, remember Jesus when he began his ministry, how when he went to the synagogue, he stood up in the synagogue, opened the scroll of Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me that I preach the good news to the poor, that I give sight to the blind, that I open the door, the prison houses, set the captives free, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he said, "This scripture has come to fulfillment because I am the one who will do it." So Jesus had already a written script that God wrote what he should do. And Jesus knew what is the written script. Hallelujah. Do you know what has God written about you? Ministry is not going outside on the street and come to Jesus, kind of a salesman you are selling Jesus. That is not ministry. Ministry is doing what God has written about you. What God has written about you will be that scroll. Remember the scroll that was in heaven. Revelation chapter number 4 and 5. Revelation chapter number 4 and 5. Remember the scroll. I'm not going there. But the Bible says the scroll was sealed. And there was no one worthy to open the scroll. So John started to cry. One of the elders said, "Why you are crying? Don't worry. There is one who has qualified, become worthy to open the seal. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was slain. He is qualified to open one by one." And he started to open one by one. Amen. Are we understanding? There are two books. There are two books in the realm of the spirit. One book is sealed. One book is open. The open book you can find in Revelation chapter number 10. Those who are good students of the Bible can get the revelations very fast. Okay. So I don't have such a lot of time to go into every scripture. So in Revelation chapter number 4 and 5, the scroll was sealed. Let's go there for the benefit of those who are not able to remember. Revelation chapter number 4. And let me read few scriptures. Revelation chapter number 4. No, it's not in chapter number 4. There is worship in heaven. Chapter number 5, verse number 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. So was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Even to look at it. No one was able to open or look at it. So no one knew what was inside it." Okay. So let's jump to verse number 5. "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals.'" So this is one of the book in the realm of the spirit, which is what? Sealed. Let's look at another book in heaven, in the realm of the spirit, in Revelation chapter number 10. Revelation chapter number 10. "I saw," verse number 1, "I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire." Who is this angel? I have explained it in the previous sermon. I'm not going into that. There are many commentaries, but you will not find the accurate interpretation of the angel. This angel is an angel who keeps the book of the covenants that God makes with man. That is the angel. He looks like this. So I'm not going into detail. But I want to look at the book. Verse number 2. "He had a little book open in his hand." This is the open book. You see? The book is open. "And he set his right foot." Okay, let's skip all those things. Let's go to verse number 8. Jump to verse number 8. "Then the voice which I have heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, 'Go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth.' So I went to the angel and said to him, 'Give me the little book.' And he said to me, 'Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, and it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth.'" Even that's a revelation, but I'm not going into that. But it says, after he ate the book, verse number 11, jump to verse number 11. It says, "And he said to me, 'You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings.'" Okay, what is the difference between a sealed book and an open book? The open book is a book where what is written inside the book is ready to manifest on the face of the earth. The sealed book is a book where what is written inside the book is not yet ready to be manifest on the face of the earth. That is the difference. The book that is sealed needs a qualified individual to open the seal so that through that person, what God has written about the coming days will be able to manifest on the face of the earth. Okay? And the person who opens the seals of the sealed book becomes the authoritative figure who can make the word written in the scroll manifest to come in the to be manifested on the face of the earth. So my question to you is your book sealed, or have you started to open the seals? My question to you is your scroll sealed, or have you started to open the seal? Hallelujah. 4 years ago, 4 years ago, five, six years ago, the scroll was lying there in heaven. My scroll that wrote that the things was written, that was written about me, that what I should go do, was lying in heaven, and it was sealed. So nothing of the scroll was manifested, because God expected me to go seek the wisdom through which seals will open. And when seals will open, I get the authority to take the word and make it manifest in my life. So the question to you is your scroll yet sealed, or have you started to open the seal? Amen. So that is opening seal is wisdom. What did I told you? Wisdom is hidden. What did we see in First Corinthians? The hidden wisdom. That means sealed wisdom. And you got to qualify. The way you qualify is when you seek wisdom more than you seek silver, precious stones, gold, beautiful woman, or a car, or whatever, or a government job, or engineering job, or whatever job, to become a scientist, to become this, to become that. If when you put that aside and give wisdom, seeking wisdom the first preference, you start to open the seal. And you start to, when the book starts to open, the words are ready to be manifest on earth. If the book is sealed, nothing will manifest. Nothing will manifest. Do we understand the difference now? Let's come back. So are we understanding the location of wisdom? Okay, that is the location of wisdom. We go there when we start to get wisdom, it starts to open the seals. Let's go back. Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. Verse number 10. So did you read about, we saw about wisdom, the location of wisdom. I want to bring you to the notice, because last Sunday when I ended, I ended on this scripture. And I told you, I am going to take you through the counterfeit wisdom, the false wisdom, which is also the clamorous woman, which is also the seducing spirit. I will take you there slowly. But let's look at Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 13. Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. The same thing wisdom is doing. Wisdom is crying out, she is also crying out. Wisdom is calling in people, she is also calling in people. The statements that wisdom uses, whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. The words are the same, but this is not wisdom. This is the false wisdom. This is the worldly wisdom. These are the fables of man. Okay, stay with me. Whoever is simple, let him turn in ear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet. This is something different she is saying. She is not giving them wine. She is giving them what? Water. That is even stolen from somewhere else. Stolen. Stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. They are doing something in secret. They don't want to show men what they are doing. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now, this verse number 13 to 18 will need 6 hours of teaching to explain to you everything. There is so much in that that you don't know. There is so much in that verse number 13 to 18 that we don't know. The church does not know. And I am going to start off now. And I am going to start off with the light revelations, with the simple ones. And then we are going to move ahead and build up. Okay, first of all, I want you to differentiate that there are two wisdom at war. There is the wisdom of God in Proverbs 9, 1 to 6. There is the counterfeit wisdom in Proverbs 9, 13 to 18. Now, these two wisdom are at war. You got to understand that. And we got to spot out the difference in these two wisdom. Let's spot out the first difference. We will go afterwards. Maybe on Sunday, we will go on the clamorous woman. But the first difference I want to point out to you is at the end of Proverbs chapter number 9. And the end of Proverbs chapter number 9 is verse number 18. And verse number 18 says, He who does not know that the dead are there. Where the dead are there? In the house of the counterfeit wisdom. The dead are there, and the guests are, the guests that are coming into her house. Where they are in the depths of hell. So the first difference that I want to bring to light is God's wisdom leads you to Christ, which is eternal life, and the counterfeit wisdom leads you to hell, which is eternal destruction. Okay, write it down and we will go into it. What did I say? Wisdom of God will lead you to Christ, to eternal life. And the wisdom that comes from the clamorous woman, we will unveil. If you don't know the clamorous woman, don't worry. We will go it the next meeting. But now, that wisdom will lead you to hell. That means wisdom will what? Lead you to hell. Now, I want you to come to the realization of the next revelation of wisdom. We looked at the definition of wisdom, and I told you the definition of wisdom is God's instruction, word, bracket, instruction to mankind. But there is a person and a center of wisdom. The person and the center of wisdom is Jesus Christ. Write it down. The person and the center of wisdom is Jesus Christ. So, If I ask you, who is the wisdom of God? The answer is Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. In him, all the wisdom of God is encapsulated in the person of Jesus Christ, and he becomes the center. So if I talk about altars, if I talk about all the wisdom that I'm talking and giving to you, teaching you, if I am talking about altars, I am talking about dreams, I am talking about visions, I am talking about revelations of the third heavens, I am talking about revelation of the depths of hell, I am talking about demons that you people don't even know, I am talking about Leviathan, I am talking about certain sea monsters, but in none of the wisdom I have found Christ. That means that wisdom is not yet attained. Stay with me. I am going to go in the book of Job now. So we are building a platform to explain the book of Job in detail. Explain the book of Job. The book of Job is a huge script of wisdom. But many people have not been able to accurately answer what was the problem. There are so many questions that revolve in the book of Job. I don't know if you have that or not. I had it, and wisdom started to give me the answers. And those answers I am going to share with you. Because when I read the book of Job, I said, Lord, all the things that the three friends of Job are telling Job are accurate. What's wrong? Where were they wrong? Okay. And why was Job not listening? These were the questions I had. Then how was the young man right? You know, a young man came and answered Job after the three friends could not answer him. And the young man answered Job. What was right in his, because many of the things he was saying was also the things they were saying. And many of the things the friends of Job were saying were also quoted in the New Testament. So they were accurate. But what was wrong? The answer to the book of Job and the answer to the suffering of Job is Christ the wisdom. That is the answer. And I want to explain you that. The answer to, what did I say? The answer to the book of Job, the answer to Job himself, the questions he had was Christ the wisdom of God. These guys had wisdom, I'm telling you. Job and Eliphaz, Bildad, the friends, Zophar, these guys had wisdom. More wisdom maybe than me. They had accurate wisdom, but they did not attain the person of the wisdom, the center of the wisdom, that is Christ. So all that, the things that they were saying, led to gloominess, led to despair, led to hopelessness. And Job was more persecuted in his soul because he was finding no answer. The answer to his suffering was Christ. And because the center of wisdom is Christ. Can I have an amen before we go ahead? From the people who are not on the screen. That's okay, those who are on the screen. Amen. Okay, let's go. Go ahead. Let's go. Let's look at first some New Testament verses. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 3. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 3. Am I on the right chapter? Colossians, okay. Chapter number 2, verse number 3. In him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Let's go to another verse, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Verse number 24. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 24. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The same chapter, verse number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So, Christ, these are the verses, the New Testament records, where Apostle Paul is saying Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom. He is the person of wisdom. He is the center of wisdom. Okay, so now let's go into Job. If you want to understand the book of Job, let's go there in the book of Job. The book of Job. Okay, now. Let me give you some pointers about, because I have to break it up. I cannot read. The book of Job is having, how many? Is having 42 chapters. The book of Job is having 42 chapters. So I am not going to go through all the 42 chapters. But I have read the book of Job and I have drawn the summary of wisdom and the questions that needs to be answered about the book of Job. So I have drawn the summary. So the first thing is Job's argument. There are two main bases There are two main bases, or there are two main characteristics of Job's argument. Okay, the first basis of his argument was that what he is going through, he did not do anything to deserve it. What he is going through, he did not do anything to deserve it. That is the first basis of his argument. That God, I am suffering, but I did not do anything to go through this suffering, through what I am going now. That is the first basis of his argument. The second basis of his argument is Job thinks that God is unjust to him for bringing such a calamity upon him. That is the second basis of his argument. Okay, so the first basis of his argument is that whatever I am going through, I have done nothing to deserve this. And the second basis of his argument is what God is doing with me, God is unjust with me. God has made me a target to strike me, of striking me. So God is completely unjust with me. Okay? Now, both of these arguments, both the basis of the argument led to a situation, led to a condition of Job's soul. And the condition was, because of these two bases of his argument, the condition of his soul was in doom, despair, and gloom. Because the reason of his arguments, coming from the basis of his argument, the foundation of the basis of his arguments was the doom and gloom that covered his heart, his soul, that he felt he is going down to the pit. And there is no one to rescue him now. I want you to understand what I am teaching you. So understand the gloom and doom covering his soul. And he is feeling after all, because he is a aged man, and he is the one who encouraged people, counseled people, gave them wisdom in his age. The mysteries were God were upon him when he was young. He was an intercessor. He used to build altars. Now, look at the condition of his soul. He is feeling, after doing all those things from God, after so many seeking of wisdom, after knowing all these things from God, this is where I am going. I am going to die, and there is no one to rescue me. So that condition of his soul brought out the two arguments he had, that I don't deserve this. And second, God is unjust with me. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Amen. Those who are listening
Amen.
carefully here, those who are you are getting, you will be blessed. Okay? Those who are listening carefully, and those who are even trying to listen to carefully, but those who are just doing something else while I am speaking, you are throwing gold. You are throwing something more than precious stones. So stay with me. Those who are there already, stay with me. Listen to me. The gloom, Job's, I'm going to give you verses now because I read it in detail. I studied the book of Job, and then I came to the summary so that a common believer can understand the meaning, what is happening in the book of Job. Okay, listen to me. So imagine you serve the Lord, you did ministry. You never slept with a woman or never slept with a man. You maintained your righteousness from the time you knew the word of God. You were your mouth was bringing words to the weary souls and comforting them. And after all that you did, and after all that you sacrificed for God, here you are suffering, lost everything, yet you did not question God now. You are having sores on your body. Your flesh has become like a dry cake, is cracking up, and death is not coming to you. You don't And you are praying and nothing is happening. So that is the situation of Job, where his soul and heart is covered with gloom and despair, because he thinks, after what is life is vanity, that I live for God. And now gloom and despair is over Job, because he thinks he will soon go to the pit and there is no one to save him. Are we understanding? So that condition of his soul brought the two arguments that he had. Number one, I don't deserve it. I did not do anything. Number two is, God is unjust. He is the one who sends people to grave like this. You will see those verses, what I'm saying, what I'm explaining, in when you read the book of Job in detail. Okay, so let me give you the supporting verses of Job knew that he was going to go to the pit and no one to rescue him. Let me give you supporting verses for the condition of his soul. Job chapter number 9. Job chapter number 9, verse number 33-34. Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me. So he was terrified of what was covering his soul, and what he was asking, is there anyone who can come in between? Is there anyone who can what? Come in between so that I can be saved. So Job was not looking for higher wisdom. The answer to Job's suffering was Christ the wisdom. Do you understand that? You will understand it in more detail when I give you more supporting verses. Job chapter number 14, verse number 7 to 14. Job chapter number 14, verse number 7 to 14. For now, this is Job speaking. Okay. For there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease, though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground. Yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Job is saying there is hope for a tree. Even the tree is cut off, it can resurrect back. But, verse number 10, but man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise. Till the heavens are no more, they will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave. Okay, let's stop there. Do you understand that now? The gloominess, this is the gloominess, the condition of his soul. He's saying, even the tree, if it is cut off, it can come back to life. It can be resurrected. But what about me? I am going there to the pit, and there is no answer for me. Once I go, I will disappear. What have I done? Okay, now do you understand what is his condition? The problem with that, I will come to the three friends of Job. They never understood the condition of his soul. So they were giving wisdom, but their wisdom did not have Christ. Okay, stay with me. Another supporting verse. Job chapter number 16. Job chapter number 16, verse number 20 to 22. Job chapter number 16, verse number 20 to 22. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor. Hallelujah. He was asking that someone save me, someone plead for me. Who is the intercessor? Christ, that pleads for men, who can save men. And he felt as if his life is going to end now, and no one is there to rescue him. No one is there to rescue him. Okay, now let me give you supporting verses. This is the condition of his soul. From the condition of his soul, there were the two bases of his argument that came up. That's why the argument was, I don't deserve this, and God is unjust with me. Let's go to Job chapter number 9, the supporting verses for that arguments. Job chapter number 9. I am taking out the main verses because we cannot go through all the verses, but I am summarizing it and giving it to you in a package. Job chapter number 9, verse number 20 to 24. Job chapter number 9, verse number 20 to 24. Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. You see, he's saying God is unjust. He destroys the wicked. He also destroys the blameless because I am a blameless man who is getting destroyed. There we see the basis of his two arguments, that he thinks he does not deserve it. He has not done anything to deserve it. And then he thinks God is unjust with him. Okay, let's see verse 23. If the scourge slays suddenly, he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? So he is so pissed off with God. He's saying, this is God who is doing this with me. He has made me a target. Another verse, Job chapter number 10. Job chapter number 10, verse number 7 to 9. Although you know that I am not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver from your hand, your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay, and will you turn me into dust again? So, do you now understand the scriptures are supporting of what I told you? The arguments, the two bases of the argument, and the condition of his soul. Okay, let's move ahead now. Now, do you now understand what Job is going through? If you have the wisdom where the center is Christ, of that wisdom, and the person of the wisdom is Christ, you will understand a suffering man. And you will be able to counsel that man in the right way. Counsel that man in the right way. I'm not a special person to understand this scripture or understand people. I got something at the location of wisdom, which has started to make me understand things that people don't understand. I got something from that altar. Once when I was at the altar, the Lord gave me a compass. You know the compass which they use? North, south, east, west. I saw, he gave me a compass. I said, "What? Why you are giving me this?" He said, even as the compass directs people in the right way to go, I am giving you that compass, that I am giving you the gift, the wisdom, that when you speak to people, you will be able to direct them in the way that they should go as per me. So I give you this compass. So I received it at the place of wisdom. So any person who talks to me, you know, those who are of the flesh think that this guy is nonsense. But those who know a little bit about God will start to understand what this guy is saying is what the Lord told me 20 years ago. He's bringing it to my remembrance. Because I am taking it from the archives of wisdom. Are we understanding that? So, if you only have knowledge, and if you only have wisdom, which is without the person of Christ, you will not be able to comfort a suffering soul. You will not be able to comfort. We see in the church people who are suffering, but they don't get answers to that suffering from God. Because there are not people who have wisdom which is centered in the person of Christ. Okay, hallelujah. Now, let's come back to the book of Job. So, I made you understand the condition of his soul was under gloom and despair, because of which these two arguments came. Now, let's come to the friends of Job. There are three friends of Job. The friends of Job are Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Now, the friends of Job were accurate in the wisdom that they were speaking to Job. Accurate, no flaw. Job was wrong. Job's wisdom, Job was not saying wisdom. In the book of Job, the things that Job was speaking was not wisdom. The things that Job was speaking was out of the despair of his soul, the arguments that he had. And in that condition, he needed wisdom to answer him. And these three guys took it upon themselves, let us answer him. And when they started to speak, believe me or not, everything that they were speaking were 100% doctrinally accurate. They had the accurate doctrine. When I was reading the things that the friends of Job was saying, I was amazed at the wisdom that these three friends had. They had immense wisdom from the archives of God. They had immense wisdom. Everything was accurate. Okay. Some of the things that they even said, Paul quoted in his epistles to make the church explain what he was trying to explain to them. So he quoted things that Eliphaz said, one of the friend of Job. Okay, let me give you the supporting verses. Job chapter number 5, verse number 13. Job chapter number 5, verse number 13. He catches the wise in their own craftiness. This is Eliphaz speaking to Job. And the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. This is what he spoke. Now turn with me to a New Testament verse in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 19. For the wisdom of God, oh, sorry, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. This is Paul preaching. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. From where did he take that scripture? He took it from the speakings of the wisdom that Eliphaz had. Eliphaz said he catches the wise in their own craftiness. So when Apostle Paul was explaining to the church of Corinthians that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, he was led by the Spirit of God to take words that were uttered by this man Eliphaz. Accurate wisdom. But what was missing? Why could they not answer Job? I want to give you more supporting verses. Job chapter number 5, verse number 17. The same chapter, verse number 17. Behold, this is Eliphaz speaking. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Remember where it is used? I know it by heart. It's in Hebrews. Let's go. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 5. So they were doctrinally correct. That doctrine was accurate. That teachings were flawless. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number what? 5. I said 5. Yes, it's 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. The one spirit that gave it to Eliphaz, the same spirit is giving it to the writer of Hebrews. So are we coming to the conclusion that these guys were giving the right doctrine, were teaching the right things to Job, were saying the right things? As per doctrine, they were not wrong. They were not wrong. And let's see at what happened to the argument or to the conversation between the three friends and Job. The friends and Job started to compete with each other on the terms of knowing God's wisdom. Instead of finding out the condition of Job's soul and what is the answer, you see, there are many things I write in this book which are full of mysteries. But when you talk to me, and when I'm talking to you personally, I cannot take everything from the book. Those are accurate things. And start to tell you, this is this is this, sister, you don't understand. This is like this, this is like this. As per your condition, there is a certain remedy from the archives of the wisdom that I have, that I need to understand the condition and then give you the medicine. Okay? But what the friends of Job were doing is, they opened the whole box of medicine and this is this medicine, this is that medicine. They were not evaluating the condition of the patient who was suffering. Okay? You come to me and you say, you go to the doctor and you say, you know what? I'm not feeling well. Can you please recommend? And the doctor starts to, this is the chemotherapy for cancer. This is this. He has not even evaluated your condition. It's just high fever and a virus which has caused the viral fever. He started to give to you medicines, information from his archives of knowledge. You should have done this. So why the doctor is doing that to you? No doctor will do that. But the doctor who wants to prove that he knows everything will do that to you. Hallelujah. Give a shout of amen. Let me see in the second phase how many. In the first phase, one person.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So, that is what the friends of Job were doing. Instead of counseling Job, giving them, evaluating the condition of his soul, which was in despair and gloom, and giving him the required medicine, the required wisdom. One, not many words, but the book of Job landed up in 42 chapters because they were speaking so much. They were speaking so, 42 chapters, this and that, and it's a poetic language. God is not a man and he chastens and he this and that and this. No, Job did not needed all those things. So, the second observation from the third observation, I told you, let me summarize for you. First of all, I told you the basis, the two bases of Job's argument. And I told you those two bases of his argument came out from the condition of his soul. Okay. Then I told you the friends of Job were accurate in their wisdom. So the fourth observation of the book of Job is the friends of Job and Job were competing now with each other in terms of knowing God's wisdom. They were in a competition now. Job also was in a competition. These guys was also, who knows more? Who knows more? Okay, that is what was happening in Job. Otherwise, Job would have been a book of four chapters if a wise man was there. But it landed up in 42 chapters because they were speaking a lot. They were speaking a lot. Let your words be less. Let your words, when you have wisdom, your words will be very refined. You'll speak to the point. When you speak from the wisdom which has the person of Christ and the center as Christ, you will know what to give. You will evaluate the soul and you will think, you will know the soul is weary. This is the word that the soul needs. Or you will evaluate the soul. You will know that soul is rebellious. So no comfort. You will rebuke that person. Give a rebuke and say, I don't want to speak more. Let's disconnect. You want to do it, do it. Don't do it, don't do it. I said what I have to say. Wisdom. Hallelujah. That is wisdom, which is centered in Christ. Okay, what did I say? The friends of Job and Job were competing. Let me give you supporting verses. Job chapter number 12. Let's go to Job. Job chapter number, 12. Verse number 2 and 3. This is Job speaking to his friends. No doubt you are the people and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Indeed. Who does not know such things as these? This is Job arguing. This guy has boils all over his body. His flesh is like a dry cake. You know a dry cake? The dry cakes develop some cracks. That is how his flesh. This guy, in despair and gloom. Ah, he got up and he's saying, "Who? What you are saying? I am not inferior to you. You know, you took a leave from your office 3 days and you said, I am sick. I have pain in my body. I am weak." But when the time comes to fight with your wife, you become a lion in that sickness. Hallelujah. That is what Job is doing. He is sick. He is in despair. But now he has come. All his power has come back. To do what? To fight with his friends. To fight with his friend. "No doubt you are the people and wisdom will die with you." He's talking to his friends. "But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you." That is the self-righteousness of Job. That if you remember last Sunday, that is what I was teaching on. That Job thought he knew it all. But God had to break him. Okay? And give him the part, question him, and show him there is so much that even if you live another 300 years on this earth, you will not be able to know it. That is the depth of the wisdom. So Job understood it at the end. But now see what he is doing. He is arguing with his friends. Okay? Another verse. It turned into a competition, people of God. A wisdom competition. Who knows more? Who knows more? When you see, I have landed up in such situations, and every time I land up in such situations, I withdraw. Say, I don't have anything to say. So you guys speak. Withdraw. Don't get into competition of wisdom. We are not competing. We are not getting wisdom to compete with others, to show others that, oh, I know it all. Okay? So that is what happened in the book of Job. Job chapter number 13. Verse number 3 to 6. Job chapter number 13. Verse number 3 to 6. "But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. Now hear my reasoning, and heed the pleadings of my lips." This is Job speaking. Okay? So a person gets angry when gloom and despair covers his soul, and when he knows he is going to the pit and there is no one to rescue him, that's how he starts to become very angry and frustrated. Let's look at some of the things that the friends of Job was telling, arguing with Job. Job chapter number 15. Job chapter number 15, verse number 1 to 6. Job chapter number 15, verse number 1 to 6. "Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, Should a wise man answer with empty knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and restrain prayer before God. For your iniquity teaches your mouth, and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your lips testify against you." Eliphaz talking against Job now. He's saying your own mouth, your own lips condemn you. You are restraining prayer before God. You are speaking without knowledge. You don't. So do you now understand the fourth observation of the book of Job is the conversation or the fellowship was turning into a competition. Okay, now why it was turning into a competition? Because all that Job was saying, the friends were saying, the center of the wisdom, though it was accurate, the center of the wisdom, Christ, was missing. Christ was missing. So what happened? A young man who was much younger than them was sitting there along with them, was there along with them. But he was silent for around, I will tell you, around, he was silent for around, for 31 chapters. He was silent. 31 chapters. He did not open his mouth. And his name was Elihu. 32nd chapter, he opened his mouth. And he opened his mouth when the three friends of Job ceased answering Job. They were tired. "We are fighting and we are fighting. We want to win, but this Job is not letting us win." That is how sometimes most of the Christian who go for counseling session with so-called pastor becomes their counseling session becomes lands up into a fight. Yes. And the man who had the answer kept quiet for 31 chapters. Praise God. He kept quiet for how many? 31 chapters. And those 31 chapters are not short chapters. They are long speakings. So they were speaking for a long time, and this guy was, poor guy was sitting there quietly, listening to all of them for a long time. Okay, so let's go to Job chapter number 32. Job chapter number 32. Now, I have content from my study of the book of Job, how Elihu, this young guy, refuted the speakings of Job and even corrected his stands and his words that he was speaking. I will not tell you all of the corrections that Elihu made, but I will show you one of the corrections, and then we will move ahead into the next observation from there. But let's see Job chapter number 32, verse number 1. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now, because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. Because he was younger to them, they were older. They were more experienced senior pastors in their territories. And this guy was a young chap, you know what? And that's why he kept quiet for 31 chapters. And then it says, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. And so Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said. Okay, so as I told you, I am not going to go to all the chapters. I am summarizing the meaning of the book of Job. Okay, so he started to speak. He started to speak. Let's see some of the things he was speaking. He said, "I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dare not declare my opinion to you." So he was respectful, he was humble, and he was patient. Okay, I said age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But this is one of the refute or corrections that he made to Job. This is one of the corrections that he made for Job. Okay, so verse number 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. See that? That is a correction that he made to the speakings of Job, because I am searching for that verse, what Job told here. Let's go. Let give me some time to search for that. Okay. So he is saying that aged people are not always wise, and the great men are not always wise, and the aged men do not understand always. So as per Job, what he was saying is, hallelujah. Okay, here I found it. Job chapter number 12, verse number 12 and 13. It says, "Wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days understanding." This is Job speaking. What he's saying, wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days understanding. With him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. So as per Job, only the people with white hair have wisdom. The young chaps don't know anything. They are made for the television and the alcohol and the party. So the young chaps don't know anything. As per Job, that is his wisdom. This is the correction from Elihu. He said, verse number 7, "I said age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice." If Job was right, I would have started my ministry when I was 60 years old. But I started ministering the wisdom of God when I was 29 years old. So, are we understanding? It's not about the gray hair. It's about, yeah, gray hair people have experience. They have seen the world. But wisdom is not human experience. Wisdom is the hidden wisdom. You understand that? So that, that is one of the correction that I want to show you. In my study, I saw many corrections, but you can search it out for yourself. The details I don't want to give, so, but one correction is enough for you, I think, to see how Elihu started to answer Job. But that the center. Now, one of the things, what was different in Elihu's speakings from the speakings of the three friends? What was different? His wisdom, the wisdom that he had, his wisdom started to reveal Christ to Job. That's why now you will see, after Elihu started to speak, and when he was still speaking, his speakings that had Christ as the center ushered a whirlwind, and in that whirlwind was God started to speak to Job. After Elihu uttered wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's skip all the things. Elihu also records his wisdom for around 4, 5, 6 chapters. I think 32 to 36. Till 36 he speaks. After 38, God starts to speak. So his utterance starts to brings the presence of God. Ushers the presence of God. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, so this is one of the correction. Let me show you Christ in his wisdom. Job chapter number 33. Job chapter number 33. Verse number 19 to 24. Very important. This is a very important verse. And this was the answer to the suffering of Job. Okay, he understood what Job wanted. He understood what was his soul looking for. His soul was going to the pit, and because he said, there is no one to save me now. That's why he was arguing, and he understood what he had to give him. Job chapter number 33, verse number 19 to 24. Listen to this. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with strong pain in many of his bones, so that his life abhors bread and his soul succulent food. This is Elihu saying, speaking. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones stick out, which once were not seen. Yes, his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to the executioners, to the hell. That was Job was feeling. That is what Job was feeling. And he says, yes, that happens. Man deteriorates and he starts to go to the pit. But then what? Verse number 23. If there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious to him and says, deliver him from going to the pit. I have found a ransom. Hallelujah. There is Christ coming after a long talk of 33 chapters. There is Christ, the answer coming. So, let me read it again. This is what Elihu is saying to Job. He, first of all, in 19 to 22, he says, yes, man will go down. He will deteriorate. He will go to the pit. But if there is a messenger, evangelist sent for him, if there is a messenger for him, a mediator, one among a thousand, intercessor, to show man his uprightness, then he is gracious through the messenger to him and says, what does the message say? The message from God is, God is saying, deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? Because I have found a ransom, that is my own son Jesus, instead of Job. Wow. Hallelujah. That is the wisdom of God. Christ, the ransom for Job, is the wisdom that Job needed. People of God, can you shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Am I helping you to understand the book of Job now? Even those who did not even read it will know the book of Job. You never read it, but what I am teaching you, you will know the book of Job. So, Christ, the center of wisdom, Christ, the person of wisdom, was missing in the speakings, in the teachings, or the things that these three guys were saying. And Elihu's wisdom was centered around a ransom that God was going to give instead of a suffering man who is going down to the pit. And the ransom is Christ. So the wisdom of God will reveal Christ in every book of the Old Testament. Okay, so here is Jesus in the book of Job that is coming forth from the mouth of Elihu. Okay, so I believe I have given you enough proofs from the scripture that Christ is the wisdom of God. Okay, and then that is what Apostle Paul, so that is the interpretation of the book of Job. The later part, now God comes after Elihu speaks and starts to speak. Who is this man who darkens counsel with words of no knowledge? And start, well, Job, come on, I will question you, you answer me. Because Job, you completed 32 chapters asking me questions. Now let me start off now. Enough. Enough of talking. So you talk too much. You talk too much. So I will ask, you are suffering, you say, and you have your flesh as a cracked cake, and here you are asking me so many questions. Now you listen and I will ask you questions. And God started to ask him questions from the archives of his wisdom. Where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundation? Where were you when I measured the limits of the sea? Where were you when I created the sea monsters? Can you hook up the Leviathan? Can you tell the animal to do this? Can you tell the grass to grow up? Where were you? And Job said, God, I put my hand on my mouth. I will not answer. I understood. I spoke of things that I did not know. Please forgive me. So you know what happened. I explained you that. And then Job was blessed twice as much he had before. So let me end the explanation of the revelation of the book of Job here. And let me come to Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So remember, we are looking at the hidden wisdom before, ordained before the ages of our glory. Now, I think I need to stop here. Let me stop here. And I am going to continue about Christ, the wisdom of God, about the clamorous woman, seducing spirit, and high places. Okay, remember what I told you in the beginning of the sermon, Proverbs chapter number 9, the verses 13 to 18. It will take 6 hours, 7 hours for me to teach it. So it's going to go, I don't know for how many days, but God at the start of this year wants you to understand his wisdom, wants you to understand his wisdom. So we will continue. Let's stop here. Hallelujah. Father, we want to give you the praise. There is a lot of fleshy excitement created in Christianity that if a person does not talk about breakthrough, you will get this miracle, that miracle, people cannot sit. There are no silent listeners of the word of God who can silently listen and write what God is speaking to them. So wisdom cannot be received in the excitement of flesh. And that's why I need atmosphere in this meeting so that I can deliver the wisdom of God. You don't know it. It's easier to receive and write it, but when it comes to the delivery to the people, you need to pray for me. Apostle Paul said, "Pray for me so that I can bring to utterance the revelation." So Apostle Paul was in the desert of Arabia before he started ministry for around 3 years. And after 15 years, many of the things that he received, he could not utter. And he was asking the church of Ephesians, Pray for me so that those things I received in the desert of Arabia. I need utterance. And the utterance can be granted when the people are receptive. When the people understand the importance, the purity, the power of what they are going to get. Hallelujah. And the delivery. So that's why anyone who moves around in the meeting, anyone, there is a disturbance. Anyone who I'm speaking here, if someone is sitting there and talking to someone and I'm teaching here, it creates a disturbance. It creates a hindrance in the delivery of the wisdom. So the difficult thing I face is in the delivery of the wisdom. And people need to realize that. And so I don't care how many people are there. I don't look at that, but I want to deliver it to the people who have come to God. They need to receive that. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So we are,
hallelujah.
Amen. Are we understanding that? So God is blessing you and enriching you with his wisdom. And this wisdom is going to show forth benefits in your life. Health to your flesh, strength to your bones, riches, honor, and glory. It's going to enrich you. We think that we will go and work so much, we will do ministry, I have to preach here, I have to give money here, I have to go there, have a meeting, I have to have a crusade here, and then God will be happy. No, God is happy with, not with Martha, he's happy with Mary, he say, because Mary is the one sitting silently and listening and listening and listening. That is what, people of God, you need to practice. You need to practice silence in the presence of God. You need to practice stillness, and then you will start to hear. You will start to receive at the altar. That is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that you enrich your people tonight. You have already enriched them with your word, with your wisdom. And even as we move ahead for the meetings tomorrow, we are going to pray together. Oh, Lord, intercede. And Sunday, we are going to get together again. I pray that you will enrich your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Equip them, oh Lord, and make them hungry and thirsty to seek you, to read their Bible and to know you, Lord, through the scriptures. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's say amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's go into the time of giving, and Sister Vetonia will pray for that, announce for that.
Yes, good evening. Thank you.